Welcome to another episode of the Cook, Eat, Nourish podcast with me, Fiona Staunton of Fiona's Food for Life. Today, I'm talking with Loretta Dignam, CEO and founder of the Menopause Hub. We talk menopause, symptoms, education, and services that are available. Make sure you listen to the end to find her three tips to help improve the health of the nation. So welcome to another episode of the Cook, Eat, Nourish podcast with me, Fiona Staunton. Loretta, would you like to introduce yourself to my audience, please?
Hi, Fiona. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast and congratulations on it. My name is Loretta Dignam. I'm the founder and CEO, a very grandiose title, I might say, for the Menopause Hub. And basically, the Menopause Hub is a centre of excellence for menopause in Ireland. We have two clinics, one on the north side and one on the south side of Dublin. We're working on a third clinic in Cork and beyond, Galway, Limerick and so on. I do a lot of advocacy with government and ministers and media and quite frankly, anyone who talked to me about menopause. And the third area is the whole area of menopause in the workplace training, because the impact of menopause on women in work can be quite damaging. So if I put all those together, we say a centre of excellence. And I set up the Menopause Hub just over 4 years ago, born out of my own experience of going through menopause. And prior to that, my experience and my career was spent in the corporate sector. I'd worked for major multinationals, Mars, Diageo, Kerry Group. I was on the board of the Abbey Theatre. I chaired the Gender Equality Committee. And I lectured in the Michael Smurfit Business School on their MBA and MSc programme. And I worked in marketing and communications and branding. So nothing to do with menopause. And once my own experience happened, I decided to abandon all that and try and make a difference in the world of menopause to try and help other women navigate their way through it.
Fantastic. And am I right in saying that I saw the Menopause Hub appear on the RTE documentary as well?
Yeah, we were the first ever dedicated menopause clinic in Ireland, and that was 4 years ago. I mean, honestly, it's just hard to believe that menopause, which affects 50% of the population, so every woman will experience menopause at some point in her life, and the other 50% may be impacted by it directly or indirectly. And it's hard to believe that for over 2000 and, I don't know, 15 years or whatever, that it's been silent, taboo, not spoken about. And so when I set up the clinic, it was the very first dedicated facility for women. And things have changed dramatically in the last couple of years. And so the likes of Davina McCall in the UK would have been sort of a pioneer in this whole area of menopause. And then RTE did a documentary, as did TG Carr, about menopause. And yeah, we featured in both of those, actually.
Fantastic. Well done. And am I right in saying that I see your branded van driving around Dublin these days?
It's actually my branded car. Oh. So it's actually quite funny. The reason I decided I wanted to get an electric car, and I decided actually, do you know what? I'll get a white one and I'll brand it with the Menopause Hub. And part of it really was kind of for the shock value to drive around with the words menopause written on the side of the car. And to be honest with you, you know, it has had that effect. And I've seen, you know, people on the M50, you know, give me the thumbs up or beep or laugh, snigger, all sorts. I've seen men talk to each other and, you know, what's that? I've had people come up to me in car parks, telling me about their symptoms. A young man about 28, he came up to me in the IKEA car park to tell me about his mother and her symptoms. And then she came along and then she ended up in tears. And so all sorts of conversation starters, particularly with younger people who think, you know, menopause should be spoken about. Older people tend to think it's still a bit embarrassing.
Absolutely. Well done you. So can I ask you, what was the driver behind you setting up the Menopause Hub? You mentioned it was your own experience. Would you like to tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, I was 49 when I had what was to be my last period. I didn't know it was my last period. And very soon after that, I got hot flushes. And they were the only two things I knew about menopause: no periods and hot flushes. No one in my friend group was talking about it. Nobody in my family, my mother never spoke about it. So, to be honest, the initial thoughts across my mind was, whoa, I'm way too young for this, 49. And my perception of a menopausal woman was somebody much older than that, maybe in the late 50s, 60s. So I was really blindsided by it. And the second thing was that I didn't really know what to do about all of this. So I obviously consulted Dr. Google, as we do. And of course, that threw up all sorts of conflicting information that almost paralyzed me. Like, I didn't know, don't take HRT, take HRT, try this, don't try that. And lots of myths, things that were probably factually incorrect. But I was so, I suppose, uneducated about it and unaware that, I was hungry for information and I absorbed everything. And the third thing that crossed my mind, so the first one was I'm way too young. Secondly, I don't know how to, handle, manage, deal with this. And then the third thing was I'm not going to say anything in my place of employment because I don't want them to perceive me as a menopausal woman, old, past it, over the hill, crazy lady, can I even do my job, that kind of thing. And so that was the other thought. And so anyway, very soon, well, no, I had never heard the word perimenopause. So as a result, I missed, or not that I missed them, I experienced them, but I actually didn't realize that a lot of the symptoms I had in my 40s were actually related to the decline in estrogen. And so I never made those associations. So in effect, there's probably about 6 or 7 years in my 40s where I was going through symptoms, and I'll talk about those in a second. And then there was the years that I was aware of menopause. So after 3 years of hot flushes, 20 or 30 a day, night sweats, hot flushes at night, duvet on, duvet off, exhaustion, tired, fatigue, being grumpy, all that sort of thing. I then decided I couldn't keep going like this because there seemed to be no end in sight. And I went to my GP and had a consultation that was kind of okay. I mean, when I said I've no periods and hot flushes, she went, oh, you're in menopause, which I knew. And she recommended some HRT, said it was safer than everybody had thought. It was going to be transdermal, so a patch through the skin. But had she asked more questions and spent a bit more time, she might not have prescribed that one because it wasn't something that suited me. And so after about 6 or 8 weeks, I took that off and I went and found somebody who dealt with hormones. And it was about an hour long consultation. It was much more expensive, but I left with an education about menopause and its impact. And I realized that all the things I'd been going through during my 40s were also related to menopause. And anyway, once I started, I went on hormone replacement therapy, which I was terrified of. And once I got the information about the risks and benefits, and the benefits outweighed the risks for me, I decided I'd give it a go. So I started on estrogen and a progesterone, and I started to feel much better. And then after 3 months, I went on testosterone, which I didn't know women could take or needed. And then I really felt back to my old self. And so I started talking to more and more women about this because I was curious as to how they were handling it. And their stories are exactly the same as mine, more or less. And so that prompted me to say, there must be a better way. Surely there's something different I can do. And I have a daughter who would have been going through puberty at the time. And I just thought, this needs to be different for my generation and for your generation. So I'm going to start a clinic. Now, little knowledge is a dangerous thing, and naivety and ignorance is bliss. But anyway, that was my mission and my plan, and that's what I did.
Fantastic. And I mean, you've achieved so much over the 4 years. So, well done.
Thank you. It doesn't always feel like that. As a person who runs their own business, and this, there's always more to be done, and there's always more you could be doing. And women are very hard on themselves. Yeah, it doesn't always feel like that, but thank you.
And can I ask a personal question in terms of the HRT? How long would you plan to take that for? What is the plan with that?
Well, the latest thinking in the medical community is that as long as the benefits outweigh the risks for you as an individual, then you can consider staying on HRT. So I am obviously reviewed by a menopause specialist who understands HRT and menopause and all the rest, and I have reviews twice a year. So my plan is to stay on it as long as I can, and if that's forever, then great. If it's not, and something happens to my health that impacts it and makes it maybe contraindicated, well, then obviously you have to reconsider that. But yeah, the latest thinking is that you can stay on it indefinitely as long as the benefits outweigh the risks.
Okay, thank you.
And so, Fiona, can I tell you a little bit more about the symptoms I had?
Yeah, sure.
Because I think this is something that, you know, most people only know about hot flushes. And there are actually over 40 symptoms. And we have a symptom checker on our website, which at a glance, you can actually see on one page the types of symptoms that a woman may experience at this stage. Now, no two women are the same, so no two women will have the same symptoms. However, the symptoms I had were brain fog, so that cognitive issues affect women. And some women, especially if there's dementia in the family, feel that maybe they're getting early onset dementia. So it's cognitive, it's forgetting words, it's memory loss, it's lack of focus, concentration, that kind of thing. And this brain fog, which I can only call, you know, describe as like cotton wool in your head. I also, I didn't really suffer with anxiety or depression or major mood swings or red rage, as it's called, or panic attacks or anything. But a lot of women do. And that was a surprise to me because I hadn't experienced those. But the things I did experience is the hot, you know, eventually the hot flushes, but I also experienced dizziness. I had vertigo at one or two times. I had palpitations. I had dry eye. I ended up in the eye and ear A&E department three times with dry eye, and nobody mentioned menopause to me. I developed headaches and then focal migraine, and I was sent for a brain scan for that. And once again, nobody mentioned menopause or perimenopause. I would have had, I developed asthma and sinus infections. I also developed urinary tract infections throughout my 40s. I was plagued with those and was on antibiotics kind of 6 months at a time. Nobody mentioned menopause or perimenopause. I had incontinence. So when I laugh, cough, or sneeze, so that's called stress incontinence, a little bit of leak. Or leakage, and then sometimes, you know, trying to get the key in the door, or, you know, rushing to go to the bathroom, urge incontinence. And because of those ads on TV, you think, oh, well, you know, that's normal, just wear a pad. But it's not normal. So if I add up all those kind of different symptoms, receding gums, changes in my skin, you know, I felt, God, I thought my acne days, well, I didn't have acne as a teenager, but my spotty days were behind. And you add all of those things together, and nobody mentioned menopause to me at all. And so therefore, I was sent off getting different treatment for those various different things. I had pains in my ankles. I mean, who would have thought pains in your ankles was connected to menopause? And I was going off seeing various different kind of physicians for the various different things. And nobody was kind of looking at it in the round. So, you know, I think women need to, you know, once they become in their 40s and 50s, they should try and look at these symptoms and try and educate themselves, because a lot of women will say, if I didn't have hot flushes, I didn't have menopause. And that may not be the case, because not everybody experiences hot flushes. So that's my little bit of education, if you like, for women, you know.
Thank you, Jörg, because it is, as you know, so different for everyone. And I had, when I got my induced menopause at 45, looking back, I had started snoring beforehand, and that, I believe, is to do with the atrophy of the muscles in my mouth. And what was happening was that if the bottom jaw falls below your top jaw, you'll start snoring, and I wasn't getting enough sleep. And then adding that into the whole menopause thing of the fatigue and insomnia, it was just a vicious cycle. So and again, I didn't really get hot flushes as such. My temperature would be raised in general, and I will get a few night sweats, but that wasn't a major concern for me. So, yeah, I get it. It is different for everyone. And the more we talk about it and the more people are aware, then the less they need to go down rabbit holes of other investigations like you did. And, you know, it can be treated. So you do a lot of work, Loretta, with menopause in the workplace. And I know you've done some surveys and you're running some different programs, and I hear words of menopause champions and all that type of thing. Would you like to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I've worked full time outside the home for all my adult life. So the workplace of the corporate sector was an area I knew well. And when I was on the board of the Abbey Theatre, I chaired their gender equality committee, because there was a big problem around gender equality around 2016. And so I saw the power of policy to change that, not only for the Abbey, but for the theatre community more widely. So I kind of figured, well, there must be something that can be done around menopause in the workplace. And if my symptoms and my experience is anything to go by, I wonder how other women were getting on. So I conducted research, and the Menopause Hub conducted our own research, because nothing existed in Ireland and it was all UK data we were using. So, and what that showed up to me were startling figures. I mean, 1 in 10 women told us, so that's of menopausal women, and that's about 38,500 women in Ireland, told us that they left work because of their symptoms. And I've met some of these women personally that have left work due to their symptoms. And about 4 in 10, so that's 40%, or about 140,000 women in Ireland, consider giving up work or cutting back their hours. And I think, you know, this is the age of perimenopause, 45, menopause, 51. And, you know, this is the age that women are kind of coming into their own in their careers. They're taking on more senior roles. They're going for promotion. And maybe they're at the peak of their career. And then, wham, they're hit by menopause, which they know nothing about or, you know, are not prepared for, and which can actually impact them in the workplace. And in fact, 80% of women in the research told us that their performance was negatively impacted by menopause. So it affects women. And therefore, you know, what can organizations do to help women stay in the workplace for longer? I mean, the average age, the average life expectancy of women now is about 84, and retirement age has gone up to 68. So, you know, we're going to spend quite a few years postmenopausal still working. If it impacts us in the workplace, then it should be treated like any other maybe condition, and there needs to be support. So other things, other stats are that 4 in 10 women took time off work due to their symptoms. And about 86% said that they wouldn't dare tell their employer the real reason for taking time off work. You know, they'd rather ring in and say they have diarrhea and vomiting than they would mention the word menopause. So, you know, organizations, I believe mental health is where, sorry, menopause is where mental health was, say, 10, 15 years ago. And who would have thought that we'd be openly talking about mental health in the workplace and supporting it? So I think menopause is similar. And the concept of a menopause champion is somebody in the workplace who will champion menopause, but will be a listening ear, a signposter, somebody who can organize internal supports and events, maybe coffee mornings, lunch and learns, that kind of thing, and who can represent people in the organization and broker conversations between management and HR. And I believe there should be a menopause champion in every organization that has a significant workforce of women. So what we do is we provide awareness training. We provide training for managers, supervisors, HR, menopause champions. And we also help organizations write their own menopause policies. And as I said, very similar journey, if you like, to mental health. So that's our Menopause in the Workplace program.
Fantastic. And I know you'll be speaking about this when this this has been recorded. It's in the same month of the National Menopause Summit. And I understand that that's one of the topics that you will be speaking at. So that'll be really interesting to be in the Mansion House and hear of all the information from a number of different specialists. So that'll be a really good event. I'm looking forward to that.
And Fiona, there's a lot of organisations have actually already embraced this. So, for example, Lidl Ireland and Northern Ireland are very progressive. They've partnered with us. They're very progressive around lots of things, but they've partnered with us around menopause. Accenture have partnered with us. And Bank of Ireland have introduced leave of absence for menopause. We're working with a number of big organisations, Dublin Bus, ESB, UCD and so on. So there's actually a very active community of employers and workplaces engaging on this topic.
Yeah, it's great to see. And, you know, I've been asked to come along and do some cookery demos with those as well to show people how what they can do with food. So it's great that the discussion is out there and it's being recognized in a lot of workplaces so people can be supported. So it's great to see. So you talk about the three menopause pillars at the Menopause Hub. Would you like to tell us just, I know you touched on them at the beginning, but maybe a little bit more about what those three pillars are?
Yeah, I guess I look at what we're trying to do, and we focus on three big things. One is obviously the clinical support for women. So that's a place for women to come to discuss their health, to be listened to. And the values of our business are education, empathy and empowerment. So it's about giving women facts and information so that they can make a choice as to how they want to manage their menopause. And people would sometimes say, oh, you're just a HRT clinic. And the reality is we're not. We're actually a menopause clinic, and of which HRT is one of the solutions. We are evidence-based, so therefore we believe that, you know, like I bought a magnet that I put in my underwear for 35 euros before I went on HRT and tried everything, you know, natural under the sun. And, you know, that magnet did not work for me, except to say that the wire basket in the supermarket just went whoom and stuck to my midriff. So, you know, there's no evidence behind that. So what we do is we work on with evidence-based solutions. But so we have the clinical piece, and that's one piece. And then we have the advocacy piece, which is really about trying to change things for menopausal women in Ireland. So, for example, in Ireland, we now have the first public awareness campaign for menopause. And that's myself and other people advocating to drive change. We've had the ICGP, the Irish College of General Practitioners, have issued what they call a quick reference guide for menopause to all the doctors in their network. And now we have those specialist clinics have been opened. And we would have advocated around HRT supply when that was an issue. And I'm now advocating for, you know, HRT and medical solutions for women to be free in menopause. So there's always something to be done to progress the situation for women. And we don't want menopause to be considered just to be a middle class condition where women can go and seek help. Every woman needs to have access to quality care.
Fantastic.
And sorry, the third area then, sorry, I was meant to say about three, is the whole area of menopause in the workplace training. And I feel passionate about that. So they're the three pillars.
Great. Okay, so we've got the clinical bit, the advocacy and the training. And so if we were to look at the services that are provided with within the Menopause Hub, could you talk me through the different services there that you have?
Yeah, sure. So I called it the Menopause Hub, one, because I wanted to have the word menopause in it and not to shy away from the menopause. Secondly, I called it a hub because I had imagined that it would be almost like, you know, a hub of a wheel, that we would add services in as and when required and when we understood more about what women wanted. So we started with some doctors. We then added in a psychologist. So we have a psychologist who's worked in women's health for over 30 years. In particular, she's trained in CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, which is a treatment option for menopausal women, and it's proven to be effective. And it can help in particular with sleep, with hot flushes and with anxiety. So we offer that. And let's face it, I mean, I think therapy, if you can afford it from a time and money perspective, is a great thing to do, no matter your age. But especially during this stage when for a lot of women, we're in what's called the sandwich generation. So we've maybe got, you know, teenagers or young children. We may have elderly parents or relatives. We're maybe trying to work outside the home. And we're trying to be the best wife, the best friend, the best daughter, the best sister, the best. So I think therapy can be really helpful. And we also have a dietitian and nutritionist. And we work with a guy called Nigel Denby, who's based out of the UK. But he's like the foremost dietitian and nutritionist in the area of menopause. The third area we have is the whole area of pelvic health. So if women can have problems with their bladder, with their pelvic organs and so on, and therefore they may need to see a pelvic physio, someone who deals with women's health issues. And there's lots of treatment available, whether it's sort of manual stimulation or electromagnetic or biofeedback or whatever, that can help with those issues. And, you know, relationships can be impacted through issues around sex, so libido or painful sex or those things. So it's really important for women to check out those symptoms and see if they can get treatment for it. Vaginal dryness is very common, very treatable. But there are some of the things that women would end up seeing our doctors for, or maybe going to the pelvic physiotherapist. And then we'd probably add in other services as the business, I suppose, expands and grows and shapes around what women need.
That's great. I mean, I think the whole pelvic floor physio is just underestimated in Ireland. I mean, if I think it's in France that when you have a baby, you get a course of six pelvic floor physio appointments. And as you say, with the sandwich generation looking after elderly parents at this stage, I just kind of keep thinking your future self will thank you if you go and look after your pelvic floor now and your vaginal health now. So that is one area. And I suppose it's really refreshing to know, as you say, some people might say it's just a HRT clinic, but for someone like me who cannot have HRT, you've mentioned lots of different services there that could be of benefit to someone like me with the therapy and the CBT. I seem to have lots of good benefits and results there, and the physio and Nigel, I've done some work with Nigel as well. And you know, I'm so passionate about the whole food side of things, and trying to make sure that you're eating all of those right, the correct ingredients. So it's great that you've got all of those different services in under the one banner. And so if someone were looking to get in touch with some of those services, do they come in and have one initial consultation, or can they say, I just want to see the pelvic floor physio, or I just want to do a course in the CBT? How does that work, Loretta?
Just to say, one of the services also offered is for women who can't take HRT or don't want to take HRT or it doesn't work for them. There's also non-hormonal medical solutions that our doctors are able to prescribe as well. So there is quite a wide range of things available. And for women who've experienced maybe breast cancer, or who've had some other way that they've gone into induced menopause, for medical reasons or whatever, there are other options medically available as well. So in terms of answering your question about coming to the clinic, a lot of people would start with an appointment with a doctor, because that's a way for them to get an understanding of what's happening to them, why it's happening, and to get an understanding of the treatment options. However, that's not to say if you knew that you weren't interested in HRT, or you couldn't take it or whatever, and if you just wanted to get access to our psychologist, you could. You could just contact us and say, I'm really interested in getting an appointment with your psychologist or your dietitian or nutritionist or your pelvic physio or women's health physio. So yes, you can assess those independently. But some women would come through the kind of the central piece of the doctor and then also go to some others as recommended. And you see, the thing is, that some of the treatments are, they're can be done in parallel or complementary. So you can be going for pelvic physio and at the same time also be getting therapy at the same time as being on HRT. Do you know what I mean? So it just depends on each individual is different. And the whole thing about it is it's individualized care.
Okay. Yeah, perfect. And so, Loretta, diet and lifestyle from the research you've done and the years that you've been around all the practitioners, etc., what would be your top tips in terms of diet and lifestyle and thriving through menopause? Because I don't want it all to be too negative about the symptoms and things. What are the diet and lifestyle tips that my audience could take away from today's discussion and help themselves thrive into this stage in their lives?
Yeah, it's interesting because I give talks in workplaces all the time and in, in the community and whatever. And when I put up my chart about treatment options, I actually start with diet and lifestyle. And I say that is the cornerstone to help yourself through menopause and managing your menopause. And often young women will say, is there anything I can do? Are there any supplements I can take to prevent it, to delay it? How do I prepare myself? And my answer is always diet and lifestyle is really the cornerstone and foundation. And the reason I say that is because a few things. One is that, as we age, our metabolism slows down. And also because of our decline in estrogen, the fat sets down differently. So it sets down as visceral fat, or brown fat, primarily around the organs or in the middle. And it doesn't set down as easily as it did, which was subcutaneous fat under the skin. And that fat is more dangerous. The second thing is that in addition to the types of fat and the metabolism slowing down, is that women tend to put on weight in menopause and perimenopause. And that is usually a trigger for them to try and do something about that. But the key thing is being the right weight for you is so important. Huge number of people in Ireland, and you know the stats better than I will, you know, are obese or overweight. And by being obese and overweight, with a body mass index of 30 or over, increases your risk of diabetes, type 2 diabetes, of stroke, of heart disease, and of breast cancer. And so women really need to be getting their weight under control in, and I know it's easier said than done. So weight is really important. The second area is the whole area of, our muscle mass starts to waste a bit, and therefore we need to be doing weight-bearing exercise. And you can use your own body weight. Like, you don't have to go to a fancy gym. You can use your own body weight doing, doing press-ups, squats, thrusts, planks, that kind of thing. And really, you need to be doing it for about 15 minutes a day, every day. The next area is obviously cutting down on alcohol because, I'm sitting here sounding as if I'm like the most perfect woman doing all these things. I'm as guilty as anyone else. But cutting back on the alcohol, because we know it's not good for us. Cutting out smoking if you smoke. And then moving, cutting out tea and coffee, cutting down on tea and coffee because they can be an irritant for the bladder if that's an issue for you. And then obviously, increasing our water, getting the right amount of sleep and so on, all very easy to say. But in addition to that, we need to move towards maybe more protein in our diet. And we also need to move towards the more Mediterranean kind of diet. And I think, cutting out processed foods and sugar and so on. And it's all stuff we kind of know. And it's just easier for me to sit here and say it than for all of us to do it. But I really believe very strongly in having that, because women are terrified of HRT and breast cancer, for example. Actually, being overweight or obese puts women at twice the risk of the national average of getting breast cancer, and weighing way more than the risk from HRT. Having 2 units of alcohol or more a day also puts us at greater risk of breast cancer than, say, HRT. There's lots of ways we need to look at our diet and lifestyle. And then the other things I'd be saying is that, out in the fresh air is really good. Any meditation, any yoga, any Pilates, any of those kind of things always help. And the other thing I'd say is vitamin D, because we live in the Northern Hemisphere and we don't get a lot of access to sunlight. And so a lot of people would probably be deficient in vitamin D. And obviously you can get that from your food, but if not, supplement. Calcium and magnesium. And then apart from that, that's enough of a list, I think. But I really feel passionately about it.
And if you could say at this stage, what are some of the positives that you've found in menopause?
Well, I have to say that once I got my symptoms under control and I kind of felt back to myself, my children are, I call them kiddos now, so they're both adults. So by the time I got through menopause, so to speak, or got through the worst of my symptoms, they were almost adults. And I have a newfound freedom. I'm looking at the rest of my life now as, the next third of my life, the next chapter of my life. What do I want to do? How do I want to live it? I want to be in the best health I can. I want to help other women. But I actually feel kind of as good as I did in my 20s and as motivated about life as I did in my 20s. So I think, it doesn't have to be all doom and gloom, but when you're going through the worst of the symptoms, it can be a challenge. But, women don't have to put up and shut up the way they did in the past. And we all knew about women who suffered with their nerves, who took to the bed. Valium was widespread in the 70s and 80s. So I think if we were to you know, take charge of our lives, advocate for ourselves where possible, educate ourselves, talk to one another. I think there's a lot of light at the end of that tunnel.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for me, I think it's just stopping looking at myself and seeing what I want out of the rest of my life. And yet not having the monthly periods is also a nice,
oh yes,
nice positive.
Oh yes. And not having the roller coaster moods and the PMT and all that. And the other thing is, the other hormone that gets impacted in menopause is actually oxytocin. And that's our kind of love hormone, the one we want to do and care for everybody and all that sort of thing. And that declines too. So we can start putting ourselves first for a change.
Yes, I definitely think it's a time to put ourselves first. Great. Well, listen, thank you so much, Loretta. Before we wrap up, and I will put your symptom checker and a link to the Menopause Hub in the show notes below. I always ask my guests if they could tell me three tips to help improve their health. What would your top three tips be?
I worry a lot about the rise in people being overweight and obese. And I think that's a big issue at the moment in Ireland, and you know, in lots of companies in countries in the Western world and globally. But I do think that that is one of the biggest risks that faces us all. And I think if we can do whatever we can to address that, I think that's really important. Us as individuals, in our families, with our children, and so on. So to me, that's one big tip is, you know, about weight under control. The second tip I'd have is move more. Because if you don't use it, you lose it. And as I'm getting older, I see that. And so I think movement, and you can pick whatever movement you like, but moving, and you couldn't call it exercise and fitness or whatever you want, but it can be dancing, it can be walking, it can be, you know, whatever floats your boat. But I think moving is really, really, and because we're all working and stuck at computers, we're living a very sedentary lifestyle, I think movement is another one. And then the third one is vitamin D. I think vitamin D is a wonderful product if we don't get enough in our food. And you know, a lot of people in Ireland would be deficient. So there'd be my three sort of top tips generally, and they're across the ages. They're not specific to menopause. They're not specific to men or women, adults or children. That's generic.
Absolutely, thank you. So manage your weight, move more, and vitamin D.
Yeah, that's mine. And I'm going to say I copyright that there today.
Well, thank you so much. I look forward to meeting you at the National Menopause Summit later on this month. Best of luck with expanding the Menopause Hub around the country. Keep up the good work, and maybe you'll need a cookery demo in there sometime soon. So thank you very much, Loretta.
And thank you for having me and for shedding the spotlight on menopause. See you at the Menopause Summit.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to today's podcast on Cook, Eat, Nourish with me, Fiona Staunton of Fiona's Food for Life. I'd really appreciate if you would subscribe, rate and review the podcast to help spread the word. And if you pop over to my website, fionasfoodforlife.ie, you'll find lots of recipes, videos, inspiration and upcoming courses. Thanks a million.